Over the past 20 years, the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program has benefited from a few different executive directors.
So I'm Anne-Marie Zenka, and I know we got the ASYEP 501c3.
Anne-Marie Zenka, the founder of ASYEP, was followed by Beth Hervey, Ann Pisey, Felicia Taylor, also known as Flash, Stacy Stein, and now the wonderful Beth Wysong is leading the way. We gathered Anne-Marie, Flash, Stacy, and Beth together to reflect on how the program has grown over the past 20 years, straight from the people who designed it.
Yampa High School had its hour or so of radio where they just played music. And Skip Naft, who was the program director at the time, would just cringe. He'd be like, they don't speak well on the radio. They were sometimes crass and, you know, it wasn't good radio. And when he proposed youth radio to me, he and Maura Masters had gone to the NFCB conference and they brought back these tapes. And then he was like, okay, now you know how Yampa sounds. This is how it can sound. And he played that for me. And I was like, oh, wow, I never thought, you know, that's better than the adult DJs do. And so when we first started, we started for no music. We just tried for half an hour of spoken. And we didn't really let them play much music. But we gradually got large groups of kids and we could get them working together on things. And they really gravitated towards social justice kinds of projects. We interviewed Scott McGinnis about the Patriot Act. There's the audio of that somewhere. We had a young boy that was involved in the juvenile justice system that did a piece on juvenile justice and interviewed the DA. And you know, I would just try to find out what they wanted to talk about, what was important to them, what they were passionate about, and then say, okay, well, hook them up with people they could talk to. You know, we had a kid that did a suicide prevention piece, and I took her to a suicide prevention conference in Denver. Time went on, and as I started to ease out of the role of working with the kids, it became more acceptable to let them play some music. And then things changed after I left. It sounds to me when I listen like it's healthier to have a mix of both music and the talk, you know, because the music brings them in and it is important as far as expression goes and expressing themselves and understanding what they like and who they are and those kinds of adolescent things that happen. But then it's been really great to see them actually learn skills. You know, the public speaking and the technical stuff and the how you present yourself things that can really help them in all kinds of areas of their lives. We stumbled across all kinds of people. It was surprising to me, but it was also a jolt to the kids, you know, because people actually do like to talk about what they're passionate about. And that would surprise the kids. Like, oh, you want to sit here and talk to me about this for an hour or so? It made their jobs easier than they thought it was going to be. I really felt like a big part of my role was helping them discover that what they wanted to talk about, what was interesting to them, could often be interesting to other people.
After hearing how it got started, I wanted to know who was in charge of making what changes to Anne-Marie's original structure.
And we mainly had high school students during my time. One of my students,
This is Flash, who took over for the program from 2004 to 2007.
And he entered in a competition that they had. The kids I had, it was became a really tight group, and they were from different high schools around the valley, and they took over the Spanish programming. There was a couple hours on Thursday evenings of Spanish programming, and then the DJs quit, so Andy Zenka took over that as well. So they were doing the only Spanish programming on KDUK at the time. It was really fun. And some of the kids that were in our program were not documented, but they had their high school ID and they could fly with it. So I was taking them all over the country. It was really fun. At that time, it was mostly musical. When we went to the conferences, we met groups. All these other kids had these CDs produced with these audio pieces. And then I think it was for the second one or the third one, I said, you are not going to go to the conference if you don't make a piece and we don't have something to give the other groups.
When I started, it was this a lot of the music focus. And then the students had done these really wonderful
And
pieces.
This is Stacy, who was the executive director of ASYEP longer than anyone else, 11 years to be exact. And she made our classroom collaborations possible.
Where her students would share something. I don't even remember what it was, but that was our first classroom project. And that part of the program has really blossomed. And through my experience working with her and kind of seeing how this can work, I was really inspired to reach out to other teachers and find ways to incorporate radio into the school year for a lot of kids. And so that really helped broaden our scope of age from third graders up to 12th graders. I don't know, I just really gravitate towards the younger kids too. I invited more middle school students and elementary school students to get involved. And so I'd say just one thing that was happening while I was there was just this increase in the age range of students that we were serving. And then also working with them on their on-air performance, really working with them to try and make those hours really fun and meaningful for the students. And at the same time, make it really listenable for people so that it wasn't just four girls laughing into the mic for an hour. I was really psyched to join a program that was so multicultural and bicultural, including the Latino community. And that was something that I really worked to continue. And kind of seems like there was like a group of high school students who really stayed involved with that Thursday night show for a while. And then that kind of evolved to including more like middle school Latinx students, elementary school aged Latinx students. And those younger students didn't always really want to broadcast in Spanish. So it added more to this bilingual element where the shows weren't always just in English or always just in Spanish, but the students were really allowed that fluidity to choose how they preferred to communicate with listeners.
When Stacy was talking about the classroom collaborations, when she brought me on as program director, that was a component that I was really passionate about.
And this is Beth Wysong, our current executive director who took over the program from Stacy in 2017. She has continued to expand the program, but she's also finding ways that we are reconnecting to ASYEP's roots.
That was a component that I was really passionate about because I had just left the classroom and I had always wanted to connect my kids to the community, but I say this all the time, I barely had time to go to the restroom as a classroom teacher. How was I supposed to get them out into the community and find the funds to do that? And so I really liked the idea that Andy Zanka could go into the classrooms and support the teachers on things that they were already doing. I like the fact that it's kind of a grassroots opportunity to start with the teachers and then get into the school and then kind of build your program that way. Up until COVID, we were in every school from Aspen Parachute at one point. And another component we added, when I entered the program, we had about 4 or 5 hours of live radio a week. And now we have 6 hours of live radio music shows. And we've now went from one public affairs show once a month to a weekly public affairs show. In 2017, probably, we started the news team, which was a middle school group of kids, 4 to 6 kids that would meet on a weekly basis to produce a monthly public affairs show. What I think we're stumbling upon without even realizing what a benefit it is that kids are still interested. I feel like we're kind of circling back to what Anne Marie did at the beginning, which is working independently with like an independent model of what kids want to talk about. So Hallie has been reaching out to some high school kids that are really interested in certain topics and has the capacity to be working individually or in small groups with kids who are interested about certain topics. Since Capstone launched 2 years ago, I've had about 2 or 3 Capstone projects each year, but I kind of feel like we're moving in a place where we can support more of those.
Well, it's structured, somewhat structured, and that's really going to be helpful for some of those kids that are struggling to come up with a Capstone.
I mean, we have enough bandwidth right now to offer, okay, well, if a student is interested in telling their story and that's it, we can help them with that. But if they're more so just interested in radio production, we can help them with that. because what I've noticed about students is a lot of them are just interested in radio production or the technical side of it. And some are just interested in talking on the radio or playing their music. And I feel like that's where we've gone, is we are able to help individualize students in those areas.
Now, throughout these interviews that I've been doing with alumni and students, I kept asking this question.
Why do you think that the studio has a unique ability to bring out student voices, even if they describe themselves as very shy?
And I kept getting similar answers to this, which make a lot of sense.
People can't see you when you're on the radio.
That's a good point. I think that kids really have a lot to say and share. Knowing that they can't see them helps.
I think also having that music and them being able to express themselves through music and not necessarily having to just talk all the time really can give kids permission to go stretch themselves outside of their comfort zone a bit, like as they do talk into the mic and do those microphone breaks, and also stay, you know, with something that's comfortable enough, that's not pushing them too far, like doing a live interview to start with, or, you know, jumping into a talk show or something like that. But
basically, that being on the radio can be scary, but it's not too scary. I agreed with this idea, but I kept asking this question because I felt like there was something extra I couldn't quite capture. And then, even though she didn't want to answer the question, our fearless leader, Beth Wysong, hit the nail on the head.
I just really think that the studio can be an authentic classroom and the kids don't even really know that they're learning. I mean, I've multiple times had students leave and be like, oh, that was great. And I say, what did you learn? And they can rattle off things that they learned within an hour. And then I've had a few students be like, you sound like a teacher. And I'm like, I am a teacher. And they're like, oh, I'm learning things? So it's almost like, because they're learning public speaking, they're learning how to helping their reading and literacy skills by reading in both English and Spanish. They're gaining music exploration, so they're learning different genres of music. They're definitely problem solving the entire time and overcoming obstacles while they're engineering the soundboard, or if they make a mistake, they demonstrate resiliency because they make a mistake and they have to overcome it. Just yesterday, a DJ made a mistake on the radio and she started to perseverate about it. And she said, I feel really bad about myself. I made a mistake. And I turned to her and said, it doesn't matter. Listeners don't care. You have to move on because you have an interview to do. And she was like, you're right. And she got up and she's done 100 radio shows and she moved on. And I want to circle back to what Stacy said, how she resonated with the younger kids. I just wanted to say, Stacy, that one thing that I watched you do, I think, was partner with Valley Settlement early on when you brought in DJs like Laura and Ricardo and younger DJs. And those kids are still with us. You know, they started at age 6 and 7. And Laura just did that interview yesterday with Bonnie Payne of Elephant Revival. It's amazing that when you do bring in the little kids at early ages, they stick through the program. And that's why I'm really grateful we do work with kids from 8 to 18.
There was a lot of love for the evolving relationship that ASYEP has had with Katie and Kay and how many advocates the kids have had over the years.
What you said about it being a safe place for these kids to express, that has to do with Katie and Kay. It's not as intimidating. And that's why Andy started hanging out at the station when he was 8 and 9 years old. And he was in that adult environment and they welcomed him.
Well, and I think Steve helped a tremendous amount with that. Very, very open and supportive of ASYEP.
Absolutely. And we wouldn't be here at all without Katie and Kay. And it's always been my intention to support the part of the station's mission about education, you know, and accessibility with this program, with the partnership with them. And I know Steve knows that and believes in that. And, you know, that this is the future of radio.
One thing I really appreciate about the partnership with KDNK is, in my experience, the adult DJs were so welcoming and supportive of the young people. The students didn't often have that kind of experience with adults, where they would meet an adult and they had like a similar role. They were more like peers. Then there was kind of this like power differential where they experienced in a lot of other situations with adults. And it was just really touching seeing that enthusiasm coming from the volunteer DJs at KDNK and that encouragement towards the youth DJs. I think that is also a really special aspect of this program.
I think there's a camaraderie in knowing a skill that not everyone else knows. And so when the kids know, even amongst kids, they can say, oh, I'm a DJ. Oh, I am too. There's a skill set there that, you know, is very unique to the average person in our community. So I think when youth see adults and adults see youth, it transcends age because it's focused on that unique skill. And ultimately that unique skill empowers both the adult and the kid. If you let go of like the radio engineering and the passion for music, really what it gets down to is both those individuals feel empowered and they feel like they're doing something in the community and they feel like they're making an impact by sharing their voice.
I can't sing anymore or I'll start crying.
Oh. Well, I'm feeling a little teary too, just to hear, you know, 20 years later, you know, how it has inspired so many people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a new idea. There's other youth radio programs. It was just the circumstances that it grew out of in our little community.
KDNK is one of the few community access public radio stations in the country.
Truly community access, where you can walk in off the street. This program's proof of that. It's unique because KDNK is unique.